Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, guys, welcome to the after show. I'm your host, Private Investigator Ed Opperman. I'm hoping to get a hold of Craig McGowan on here so he can give us a little update on Dave McGowan's health. In the meantime, if you're listening to this, please check out the Center for an Informed America and check out Dave McGowan's website. There's a PayPal donation feature on there where you can donate to Dave and help him out in this time. We all got to stick together, okay? It's so important. And Dave's a guy that's been around there a long time. Everyone who listens to this show has enjoyed the shows we've done with Dave. We've probably got some of the best response out of all the shows we've ever done. So I would really encourage everybody to help him out right now here in this time of trouble. So that website is Center for an Informed America. And let's see here. There's an address, too, if you want to mail a check. Let me get this address for you. Get it for you right now. Pull this up. Give me a second here. We also, Dave Waters is over in Portland, Oregon. And he's up in a tree. He's one of the guys that was doing that that bridge protest where they were dangling from the bridge and all that kind of stuff. And now he's up in some tree protesting. And he might be coming down from the tree tonight. So I don't know. We'll try and get a hold of him while he's still in the tree or whatever. Maybe make him instead. He can put on another hour. You know, he can stay up in the freaking tree for another hour. You know, give me a break here. You know, the guy's so busy. Can't stay in a tree for the rest of my show. Okay. So let's see if we can get a hold of Craig. And we'll pull him in here. Craig McGowan, brother of Dave McGowan. And he can give us all the addresses and stuff like that. And an update on Dave's health. And maybe even some theories of what we think. Craig McGowan's telephone there. Pull up his audio a bit. By the way, if there's anybody out there who owns a Hyundai...
You've reached Craig McGowan. I'm away from the phone right now, so if you'd leave a brief message, I will get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you.
Wait for the beep. Hey, Craig, how are you? It's Ed Opperman from the Opperman Report. We're live on the air. You can give me a call back at 702-605-4894, and we'll put you right back on the air. As soon as I pick up the phone, you'll be live on the air. 702-605-4894. I'll talk to you in a little while. Yeah, if anybody out there knows anything about a Hyundai Santa Fe, I had to rent a car because Victoria has a debate. Tomorrow's her debate all day long. And so I got to be down there at the debate from the crack of dawn in the morning till at night. So I went out and rented a car. And so and I got home to do the show. like 5 minutes before the show started, and I come racing, I pull up. The key is still stuck in the ignition. I can't get the key out of the ignition. It's a 2005 Santa Fe. I went online. It seems like a lot of people have this problem. So anybody knows the trick how to get this thing out of there? Or, because that thing's going to get stolen. It's out in front of my house. It's going to get stolen. Okay. So if anybody knows how to do that, shoot me a, send me an email, okay, at OppermanReport@gmail.com. Don't forget, you want to get a year's worth of Opperman Report? You don't want to pay the $75? You can get it for $60, okay? Because I need about 10, 15 people to help me out so I can get a car this week. We're going to be buying a car soon. Hey, I want to thank a couple of people out there so much. Christy Kennedy, an old friend of mine. She used to work for me back in Staten Island. And she started working for me when she was like 15 years old in a Staten Island mall when I had my beeper and cellular phone company. And she worked with me all through college, and then she graduated. She went to St. John's University, and you know, worked for me. And then she, when she left, you know, she went and became like a vice president at Bear Stearns or Lehman Brothers, something like that. She got a really, really good job. Best employee I've ever had in my whole life, and probably one of the best friends I've ever had in my whole life. Reminds me so much of Victoria when. Christy was working for me, and we were friends, and we'd hang out at work and stuff like that. I always said, oh, if I ever have a daughter, I'd want my daughter to be just like Christy, because she was just a golden, a gem of a person. And she really is, and she's still a great person and a great friend in my life. And she saw I was struggling. I mean, she married some rich guy. They're really rich now. They have a place in the Hamptons on the beach, and the Sutton Place. They live in Manhattan. They're just loaded, you know? And she saw I was struggling. We needed a car, and she came out with a donation for me. And I can't, Christy, I love you so much. You have no idea. You know, one of my best friends in the whole world. And I talk about you all the time to my daughter, who's so much like you. It's just not even funny. So just a shout out there for my friend Christy. Also, too, I had another friend too. I don't know if it's okay to mention her name, but also gave me a really, really big donation. To help get this car, because you know we've been without a car since the whole thing with the divorce and the custody, and then I had to take a title loan, and then the engine seized on the car, and it was a nightmare. We've been walking around, and now I got this swollen ankle, and I've been limping around. I've been walking around with a cane for the past couple of months. But thank God, we've been praying, we've been fasting, and we needed a car so bad. I got a whole bunch of little jobs came in the past month. And the member section's been doing good. And then these people came through for me, helped me out with some money. So we're going to be able to get a car this week. Thank God for that. Because me and Vic walking to school every day, it's a nightmare. One more thing I want to talk about is that you realize that we've been doing this Daniel fast. I've been talking about it for about the past month. I started, it's a 21-day fast. It's from the Bible. You cut out all meat and milk and eggs and sugar and coffee and alcohol. You don't drink any alcohol or all that kind of stuff. And it's been such a benefit to us, to me and Vic, that we're going to do it again. And what I've decided what we're going to do is, I don't think I mentioned this on the air before, but no, I didn't, because we came up with this idea on Sunday. This has been such a benefit to us that we're going to invite all of our friends and old friends, people from churches that I've worked with in the past, and listeners to the radio show, and people on from Facebook and stuff like that, in our social media network, to join us in this fast for 21 days, to cut out all sugar and alcohol and coffee, and just, you know, you live on nuts and berries and fruit and vegetables and smoothies, you know, and beans. And you could have like brown rice. You can't have white rice. And so we're going to encourage all of our friends to join us in this, and we can pray for each other. A good guy to pray for right now would be Dave McGowan, you know, who definitely needs our prayer, even though he's an atheist. But I would say definitely pray for Dave and keep our positive attitude there and our faith that we could have a miracle here and he'll be healed. There's an address where you can save money and send money to Dave if you want to send him a check. Or a money order, something like that, or gold coins or something, who knows. And that is McGowan, McGowan, 6912 North Sunset View, Prescott Valley, Arizona, 86315. And that's where you can mail a card or a letter or a donation or even a gift. I'm sure he would appreciate anything that you could send him. You know, I understand, too, that even perhaps the pain meds aren't quite what he requires. So the plan is to do this book where we all participate in the fast together. And then if you want to get involved, you'll do... we do this book where we all participate in the fast together for 21 days. And then you send me a letter of what your experience was during the fast. And you send me a picture of yourself and your family, whatever picture you want to promote. And if you want to promote something, you have something going on, a website or a business or something like that, you can put that in there too. So you send us this this letter and this picture. I'm going to have recipes in the book about what to eat during the Daniel fast, like my black bean soup and the stir fry and all the kinds of stuff we make in the pasta dishes and the different salads that I make during the Daniel fast and the smoothies. And we'll have that. And then even some like exercises, not, you know, a big heavy exercise thing, but like we use this little obstacle course thing here at a park, and you do chin-ups and push-ups and sit-ups and stuff like that. And so we're going to have a little yoga positions we're going to have in there as well. That'll be another section of the book. And then the section where the listeners and the audience, all my friends and my old buddies and stuff like that will contribute these letters. And so you'll be in a book. Your picture will be in the book. And then later on, if you want to sell copies of the book yourself, I'll get you the copies of the book at cost. You know, we can order them from Amazon, and you can sell them to your friends and stuff. Or if you have a website or something like that, we can put up a link on your website, and you can become an Amazon affiliate and sell some books for yourself. So let's see. So the big news of this week is that one big sale on the member section, $60 for a year. Just send me an email at oppermanreport@gmail.com. I'll get you signed up tonight. Don't sign up through Tiny Pass. This is a discount you'll have to do through me. PayPal me directly so I can get a car this week. The other big news is that we have been picked up on this AM station in California. They definitely want the show. If you can sponsor us for this show, I'm giving rock bottom rates, man. Like, I'm breaking even on this. I'm not making anything on this. Just to promote the member section and sell my book and that kind of stuff. So there's that. I'm going to try and get into California. I think this event is like October 16th or 17th, where a man is going to be at this eco-friendly event where Tom Hayden's going to be there and Densmore from The Doors. And also, too, any of my previous guests like that have a book or something they want to sell, Amanda has this big table and this big booth, so she's willing to help sell your books and all that kind of stuff, too. And you get to meet Amanda. I'm going to be down there as well. And hopefully I'm going to be getting to interview Tom Hayden and some of these other people at this event. Let's see. What else was there? The book. Let's hope we can get through to Dave tonight. Let's see if Craig McGowan will call. Couple of things. Last week was my birthday. By the way, we're coming up to the two-year anniversary of the show, which will be September 28th. We had the two-year anniversary. We started the show on September 28th on a Thursday morning at 11 o'clock in the morning on this one little tiny internet station 2 years ago. And then I had to take a break because my business was under attack right away. As soon as I started this thing, everything started going to hell. And I took like a month or two off. And then I wrote the book and I got the book published. And we started the show up again in January, 2 years ago. So the real anniversary was in January. And I was still on that one little station. And it wasn't until April that we started picking up all these affiliates and syndications. I set up Spreaker myself and all these kind of things and iHeartRadio. And we started really taking off. And that's when we really started getting listeners because we moved to Friday night. We started really picking up. And now it's just crazy. I'll give you an idea how crazy it is. My good buddies, Amanda and Sean Duff from the band Straw Man, Go to strawmanmusic.com. His name is Sean Duff, by the way, not Sean Duffy. Okay, people should know that. Last week was my birthday, so what they did was they put this little feature on the website where people can send me these birthday. These people are supposed to be my friends. And everybody knows how overwhelmed I get with all these emails and messages on Facebook, all this kind of stuff. And what do these guys do? They put this thing up where people can send me messages. And what the hell do I get? Because we had this guy, Larry Hillman, on last week. And right toward the end of the show, he starts talking about how he believes these false flags are to take away our guns. So I said to him, I said, well, Larry, let me ask you a question. You know, if the 1%, the people in power, if they're the ones who manufacture these guns, how hard would it be for them to just stop manufacturing guns? Why would they need to go through all these charades and school shootings and all this stuff like that in order to create this legislation to stop manufacturing guns? And he's an honest guy, and he says, yeah, you know, you're right. I never considered that. So it seems to be that the programming around that issue is so deep. It goes so deep that when people hear me say that, they think that what I'm saying is that I don't support the Second Amendment and that I don't believe in gun ownership. It's just so bizarre to me that people hear this, because instead of sending me birthday wishes, I get these emails about how I'm anti-gun or how I'm gun control. So I just want to get that issue out on the table here. I've owned guns my whole life, okay? And when I first got into, even before the PI stuff, I've always had guns. I had illegal guns as a kid in the Bronx, you know, in Staten Island. You know, I've always had guns. I'm not afraid of guns. I don't think it's a, you know, I also don't have this kind of idea that the guns are like a macho thing. You know, you see people on Facebook with their profile picture and they got a gun, you know, or they go to the range and they take pictures with their guns. You know, me and my partner, Bob, we used to go down to the gun range all the time. We never took a picture with our guns and stuff like that. Then when I first got broken into the PI business, there was an information broker. I was working out of that office in Brooklyn. The owner who ran that office was a gunsmith, okay? And he did ballistics examinations and handwriting forensics and all kinds of stuff. So we had a lot of guns. You know, we all carried guns. You know, I had a shoulder holster. At one time I had a shoulder, it would carry my 9mm Taurus on my shoulder holster with a couple of extra magazines. And then I would have a Walther PPK on a 380 on my ankle. So I had two guns that I walked around with all the time. But the thing is, though, is I had a reason for that, though, you know, because when I was in the nightclub business, you know, you had a lot of cash and stuff like that, a lot of unsavory characters. So, you know, and I would even sometimes wear a Kevlar vest, you know. So there seems to be, but because I don't believe that there's a gun grab going on. Everyone's convinced that there's a gun grab, but I don't see that at all. And all I see is that them selling more and more guns and bullets and weapons and all this kind of stuff all over the world, and even to us here in the United States. But the programming is so thick that there's a gun grab going on that people hear me saying that and they think that I'm anti-gun. I'm not anti-gun. I'm well armed. Okay, you know. And it also seems to be this really bizarre thing that when you talk to these gun advocates, these people who are obsessed with gun rights and gun issues and gun fantasy, that they have this thing. I get the most bizarre email. It says, happy birthday in the subject line. And then it goes into this whole thing about how because I don't support gun rights and gun ownership, that one day my wife or my daughter is going to get raped and I'm going to stand there watching them get raped and not do anything about it. Which is this? There's a fantasy with these people that they believe that they're gonna be walking down a dark alley one day with armed to the teeth with like their guns, you know, and they're gonna see some woman get raped, and that they're gonna save this woman, pull out their gun, save this woman from getting raped, and then the woman's gonna fall in love with them, you know, and they're gonna go become who's that guy, John McClane. You know, in what was that show with that guy, you know, in the building there, you know? not lethal weapon, but you know what I'm talking about. That somehow, that they have this fantasy world about them and their guns, you know? And so that's, I'm not anti-gun, okay? I'm not anti-gun at all. As a matter of fact, how could you think that I'm anti-gun? All I talk about is a resistance movement and Che Guevara and overthrowing the Cuban Revolution. These are done with guns, you know? I'm not advocating violence or, you know, anything like that, but I'm just saying, oh, hey, we got Craig McGowan calling in here. Maybe he's going to threaten me with his gun. Hold on. Okay. Craig, are you there? Oops. I'll call him. And get a hold of Craig McGowan. He's calling in. He was ranting and raving about my stuff. There was some more stuff I wanted to talk about guns, too. I can't remember what it was at the moment.
Hello.
Hey, Craig, how are you? It's Ed Opperman.
Speaking. Hey, how are you doing, Ed?
I'm pretty good, man.
My phone, you must have called earlier. My phone didn't ring for some reason. Sometimes it does that. I missed the call. I had no idea.
Okay,
I looked at the clock and I thought, you know, Ed must have called, but I guess obviously he did.
Well, we're live. Yeah, we're live on the air right now.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. So everybody can hear you. Craig McGowan is the brother of Dave McGowan, who's a frequent guest on this show. And the whole audience loves Dave McGowan, okay? And we have, even before we had the show. Now, are you the older brother or the younger brother?
No, David is the youngest.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm older, but I'm not the oldest. I'm right in the middle. There's three.
Well, then, now what
kind... He's the youngest. He's the baby of the family, yeah.
Okay. Now, what kind of update can you give us?
Well, at this point, I'm not sure, you know, what David has told his girls. And it surprised me when I saw Maria Heller make a post. So, you know, I was a little shocked because I was asked specifically not to say anything. Just for the fact that his two youngest daughters had not, or did not know, the latest, and he didn't want them to find out. You know, seeing a post or any other way until he had a chance to tell them. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Well, it doesn't seem like I don't see his daughters posting in those groups very often. You know what? That's not true.
No. He's got two.
Yeah.
He's got two that are younger. He's got one that's older. And the older daughter, his oldest daughter, knows. She flew out, and he told her. And I originally was going to tell his daughters. He had them come over and. For a barbecue, and he was going to tell him, but he just wasn't able to. But the news is that
Let me ask you some questions first.
He was told that there was nothing more they could do for him.
Okay, when was this?
It's been a couple of weeks. It's the time when he went into the hospital and we all went quiet. That the cancer had actually been sunk a little bit in his lungs, and it, but that it had spread in his bones.
Right.
And they gave him the option that, you know, because I guess the pain is pretty bad, that he could irradiate two different places of his choosing to help with, you know, to help alleviate his pain. But that was it. No more chemo. You know, so he's planned this trip to Hawaii for his three girls to give them memories.
Right.
And, to.
How old are the girls?
I call them girls. They're not really girls anymore. The oldest is, I think she just turned 30.
Okay.
The two younger ones are, I believe, 19 and 22. I think 22 and 19.
Okay, so it's going to be Dave.
But I'm not sure that they know. I think if he hasn't told them yet, he'll tell them in Hawaii.
Well, it's very unlikely they'd be listening tonight. I don't think they listen to this show.
Pardon?
I says it's very unlikely that they would be listening tonight. I don't think.
I don't think so. It's just that if I made a post on Facebook and it somehow made it to my page, they would see it.
Right.
And so I have gone completely, you know, silent on Facebook for that reason. And, you know, I'm honoring that request. So, and they might know by now. It's possible that the eldest daughter, when she came out, that she was able to break the news to her sisters because David wasn't, you know, had been able to tell him. You know, it's like falling off a ledge. You know, he's in free fall, basically.
Yeah, I know. Now, how is it, like, is he able to walk around? What does he do all day?
Well, he doesn't, as far as I know, I haven't been with him yet.
Okay.
He doesn't have a lot of energy. He is able to, at this point, still take care of himself. He's on quite a bit of pain medication. The bone pain, cancer is fairly painful. But he still is able to, you know, take care of himself. You know, he can feed himself. He can, you know, he can walk, and, you know, he's not at death's door. He's just facing, you know, he's preparing, I guess, for the end.
Now, is this trip to Hawaii that we want to plan? Now, is he well enough to fly to Hawaii and do all that kind of stuff?
Well, he's well enough to fly, certainly. Like I said, I mean, it's not like he's laying in bed waiting to die. If anything, the chemo knocked back the cancer in his lungs and his liver to the degree, other than the pain from, you know, the cancer in his bones, that, you know, he keeps on the pain meds and he's still functioning. He's still functioning. He just, like he said to me, you know, I might not be able to go to some of those places that, you know, that I showed him when I lived there and where, you know, he wants to show his daughters, because I don't know if I start to hike back in there and then I can't make it out. You know, he's worried about that, because he doesn't have the energy. You know, he doesn't have, you know, he's not, he doesn't have the energy to like he had before. But, you know, as far as, you know, short, you know, distances walk, I'm sure he'll be okay. And he might get sick. He's been getting sick a lot, but, you know, he'll do the best he can, you know.
What's the timetable for the trip? Like, do you have the tickets and stuff yet?
Yeah. He was able to get all four girls on the same flight leaving on the 25th for Maui, because he knows, you know, Maui's where I used to live, and he knows that island probably the best for visiting me, the little place, secret places that he wants to show his girls in. And he got the free air miles from his saved up from when he, you know, worked construction and all the materials he had to buy for his job. So he saved up a bunch of air miles, so they're flying for free.
Okay.
But then when he gets there, he wanted, based on, you know, how much, you know, funds he has, he wanted to take them to the big island to show them the lava flow. And, you know, if they wanted to go, I don't know, snorkeling on Molokini or to a luau or, you know, different things like that. His plan right now is to go to Costco as soon as he gets there and, you know, stock up on food that he can just make them, you know, in the condo that they're renting. You know, he's got a 3-bedroom condo, I think, in Kanapali, he said. And, you know, that'll save a lot of money. He don't have to ever go out to eat. He can just make it, you know, from whatever he gets at Costco there in Kahului. So, yeah.
Yeah, because even Costco is expensive over there. I think a gallon of milk is like $10 or something. It's just crazy.
Well, yeah. I lived there 20 years. My daughter was born on Maui, you know, 22 years ago. Yeah, milk and gas is if you're not used to the prices over there, it'd be quite shocking that, you know, how much, you know, a gallon of milk is or, you know, a gallon of gas, even 22 years ago. But I'm sure that's really exaggerated now, the prices, you know, compared to then. It isn't cheap to live there, but it's also, you know, one of the most beautiful places, you know, on earth too. So can't imagine a better send-off.
Yeah. And what do you think that the listeners, especially if we had some listeners who live in Hawaii, you know, what could people do to help out, to help support this?
Well, I mean, I tried looking through my phone book because, you know, I lived there 22 years ago, but I mean, in 22 years and you didn't talk to a lot of these people, it's like, you know, none of those numbers were any good. I was told my team, but, you know, I don't know what to say that. I mean, unless they owned a restaurant or a, you know, a tourist type thing where they gave helicopter rides or that's another thing he wants to do, the helicopter ride. But I told him, I said, you know, those were $200 a person back 22 years ago when I lived there. I said, he goes, yeah, they're about $500 now. And I said, gee, that's a lot. So, and he's got, you know, four of them with his three girls. So that's, you know, just for a helicopter ride, that's, you know, quite a bit of coin for just that.
Well, you know, if you try to locate some old friends, you know, and their numbers are no good, if you have their names and date of births and stuff like that and previous addresses, I could find them for you.
Well, if they're even living in Hawaii anymore, like I said, you know, that was 22 years ago, and a lot of these guys were construction workers, because that's what I did. And those were basically the people that I, you know, associated with when I lived there. And as construction goes, just like I left, you know, it's hard to say that, you know, they might not be transplanted somewhere else. A lot of people go to Hawaii and they live for so long, but if you're not working over there, you can't afford to live there. It's like you said, the gas, the milk, just for little things, ridiculously expensive. And if you go to the tourist places like the Star Markets where the tourist shop, I mean, you're paying, you know, double, triple, you know, and they see you coming. So, yeah, they want to take your money and then send you back home. So that's how it works.
So then what's the main thing that the people can do right now to help out and show their love?
Well,
to Dave,
I, you know, I need the post. I would hope, you know, and that's a big thing to ask too. I mean, here's a guy, that wants to go to Hawaii. It's you know, they're still, you know, not only does he need the money for his medical and this and that, which we all know is never going to get paid now. You know, it's doubtful he'll even live to pay his taxes at the end of the year. So I don't think any of that's a concern. But, you know, that's a huge thing to you. Yeah, I helped my brother out go to Hawaii. But, you know, David's given me a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, he he's doing this not for himself. It's for his girls. He wants to give them memories of him, you know, lasting memories, because this is his way of saying, you know, goodbye to them, basically. And, you know, I know he could just go over and do the condo thing and the Costco and make the meals, but, you know, I would hope that he could give them the helicopter ride, you know, give them the luau, give them the snorkeling thing on Molokini, just whatever, you know, other than just the, you know, the beauty of the place, which is, you know, going to be good too. You know, he'll go to Haleakala. That's free. Just have to get up at, you know, 3 a.m. to do it. You know, but yeah, I mean, I don't know what more to say. I know it's a big thing to ask, but
it's really not. It's,
you know,
really
I'm
not,
asking.
Man. It's really not, you know, believe me, this audience loves Dave. You know, they really do. And they respect his work and his hard work he's put into, a sacrifice, you know? And I'm sure that everyone who can do something is more than happy to do something. And it's not outrageous or outlandish or anything, just that they want to be doing in Hawaii, you know? And there's organizations that you make a wish and stuff like that do this. This is not a unique idea.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a unique concept at all. So now one thing is the website, Center for an Informed America. And there's a PayPal donation button on there. And then the other thing is to mail, I guess, checks. Can they mail checks to this other address we have in Arizona?
Well, I mean, probably at this junction, you know, I made that the address post, you know, some time ago before we got to this stage in David's, you know, where we are now with David, and probably, you know, the quickest way, even though, I mean, that would be acceptable, it would just have, you know, because he'd be able to, I'm assuming that no matter where he's at, he'll be able to access his account, you know, the PayPal, because I'm sure it goes right in his bank account. If he has a debit card, I'm assuming that he'll be able to get that those funds, you know, right away, whereas if it was mailed in a check.
That's true.
Excuse me, that, you know, then my mom, because that's up near where my mom lives, and then, you know, it's not that she would keep it, she wouldn't, she would definitely, she's sacrificed life and limb for him, you know, would give it to him, but it wouldn't be able to get to him. I mean, he's leaving on the 25th, so, and he'll be there till the 3rd, I guess, one week, depending on how the flight worked out that he could do it, so I think probably the PayPal. So, you know, like I said, before it was a concern, people talked that, you know, he's going to get 1099. Yeah, he'll get 1099 for all that money, but he's not going to be here. He's not guilty. Yeah. He won't make it that far. You know, we don't even know if he'll make it till Thanksgiving.
Well, he definitely, you know, deserves, you know, this time with his kids. And I really would encourage everybody in the audience to support as much as we can. I'll be mentioning, I'll be on Stu Webb's show on Monday night. And I'll be doing some interviews over the weekend, too. So I'll be sure and mention the Center for an Informed America and the PayPal. Because I know everybody who listens to me loves Dave. Now, Craig.
I appreciate it.
No sweat, man. Come on. But now, does Dave believe that he was targeted because of his work?
I think that there's a strong possibility. David is not going to come out and say it. None of us can come out and say it because, you know, he smoked for a number of years. The cancer that he has, although it is by far, as far as I know, the deadliest form of lung cancer, or most any cancers other than pancreatic cancer, because it can never be cured. If there is no there is no cure for it. You can slow it down and prolong your life, but you know, best case scenario he ever got was, you know, 5 years. Nobody survived beyond that. But he was hoping he was one of those ones that he didn't think he'd be the one to hear that those words that we can't do anything more for you. He didn't. I mean, that just took the breath out of him. You know, time stopped.
Yeah, I could imagine. And then, now this was sudden too, right? Like he was just walking around fine one day, and then one day he wasn't.
Well, you know, I was in contact with him anyway, so he hadn't been feeling well. But he was having problems breathing at night.
Right.
At the very end, he swole up. In fact, when I first saw him in the hospital when in May, he was unrecognizable. I was unprepared, and I thought I was fully prepared. When I walked in to, you know, the hospital room, I did not recognize him. But that's because the tumor had, and actually that really prolonged his life, because if the tumor had not grown around the vena cava superior, which, you know, is the main, blood oxygen from the heart to the brain, and began to strangle him, he never would have known he was sick. So he would have been dead before he knew. He was within days of being dead when, you know, when he went into the hospital, days of being dead. So that really saved prolonged his life. Obviously didn't save it, but, you know, they put the stent in and they poured in within 24 hours. And, you know, he started his first session of chemo the very next day, within 48 hours. I mean, it was just, boom. We have to do this, or, you know, this is your only chance. So he didn't have, you know, any time to research any alternative methods or you know, anything. There was no time. And if those of no Dave, he never just makes a stand on anything unless he's well prepared to defend it, you know, his stand. And he did not have a chance. He had no. You know, all he had was a doctor telling him, "You're going to go if you don't, like soon." And he went for the chemo. Now he feels a little betrayed. But the truth of the matter is, you know, there were three people in that room, four people. My dad was there too, but he doesn't hear as well. But my mom and myself and Dave, we were all in the room when the doctor, you know, gave us the initial prognosis of small cell cancer. And I heard something different than David, and completely different from my mom, who mom had like all this hope and all, you know, she was, and I was not going to take that away from her. Yeah. Or David, because the worst thing, once somebody gives up hope, they're gone. It's over. Hope is the only thing, you know, and you know, the human mind, it's a funny thing, but it has a lot of power. And once you give up, if you give up that hope, you know, your spirit dies, and then your body's going to die very soon afterwards. And I don't know that he's given up, but I think, you know, when he heard those words, you know, come out of his doctor's mouth, there's nothing more that we can do for you. You know, I think he's having a hard time coming to terms with that. And he feels betrayed. I think he feels like he was given false hope. I didn't hear any false hope in those doctor's words. I heard a glimmer of hope. You know, but if I go back to when I was, 40 years ago, I was very sick. And my parents knew the truth, but I didn't. And I'm so grateful that they hid the truth for me, because I had absolutely no fear going into, you know, surgery for the cancer, none. But I had no idea I had it either. And, you know, I had 1% chance, 1%. cares 40 years later, man? You know, but I had no idea. You know, they lied to me. I'm grateful they lied to me. They didn't really lie. They just didn't tell me that, you know, the whole thing. So, anyway.
People are asking in the chat room, they're saying, you know, if they can't send money, how can they send support or, you know, love or emails or letters or something like that?
Well, he has his email account, and he can't answer all of them, but he does read them. And that has been a boon to him for the support, the emails of love and support. I mean, that's kept him going sometimes when he's been at his lowest, is just, you know, the outpouring of love and support that has been huge to him. You know, so yeah, his David, all one word, lowercase, davidmcgowan@roadrunner.com is his email address. And he does read them. He does not respond. Obviously, he gets hundreds of them. He does not respond, you know, to all of them, but he does respond, you know, here and there, or he'll make a post. Of course, he hasn't posted in a long time. I don't know if he ever will, or if he'll be able to bring himself to. Nobody wants to bring that final news out, you know, and I know he's have a hard time doing that or even talking about it. In fact, he hasn't even voiced those words to me, and I've only talked to him once in the last 2 weeks, and that was yesterday, and we basically discussed TV shows. I talked about anything but how is
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We talk about anything else. Other just immaterial crap, mostly. And so I know he isn't able to talk about it, because he just can't, you know, his voice, he just can't. So.
Yeah, so his email is Dave. MCGOWAN@roadrunner.com.
It's David. He uses his David, not Dave. You know, most people call him Dave, but okay. It's David with a, you know, DAVID and then McGowan.
Okay, David. Okay, yeah. What I'm doing. Sorry about that. Okay.
That's all right.
Okay. Now, have you also, you know, Dave is one of the best researchers out there, I think, you know, and just his work is so thorough.
Oh, bar none.
Yeah.
David to me, you know, and I am biased, but I trust him, and I know he's completely 100% legit. You know, I know there's other ones out there that also are 100% legit, but I know David is, and I trust him, and I, you know, he makes a very good argument for anything that he tackles. You know, he digs in, and he, you know, he's not afraid to tell it like it is, and he doesn't back down from anyone. Mm. And ultimately, you know, that might have, you know, cost him.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I would see him get into these little fights with people online and stuff like that. He would get so intense. But It's interesting too, though, that me and him were always on the same kind of wavelength, you know, like always kind of like always tuned into the same kind of thing. And like when I would bring up that it's I don't believe that these shootings are due to a gun control, a gun grab, you know, and he never really thought it was a gun grab either. And so I always paid such close attention to all the stuff he was talking about, because he always seemed to be, and plus again the whole anti-fascist thing, and which I think is a thread throughout all my guests, you know, who seem to have that same leaning.
Well, David has the same opinion, I mean, probably of other people, but I have it also. You know, a lot of people buying into this, I guess that they're trying to push us to say we're heading socialism, you know, to a socialist a government. But Dave believes, I think he believes, and that I believe, is that, you know, we're into fascism under a cloak of socialism. So in other words, they're feeding us. We're pushing you to socialism, and the reality is we're being pushed farther and farther to the complete other direction, the other spectrum, into fascism. So it's fascism, or we can call this totalitarianism, because that's really more closer to what it is. But it, under the cloak of socialism, you know, here, this is what we want you to believe. This is what you're getting. I think that's what Dave believes.
Now, so now, is he doing any work right now, or just?
You know, he isn't. I think, you know, he's going through the. I think he's just going through the. I'm falling off a cliff. I can't breathe. My God, is this really real? Yes, it is real. What do I do? How do I? You know, my daughters, I have nothing to leave them. I feel like crap because all I have is an old truck. Well, it's not old. It's a couple years old. But still, literally, he has, other than his legacy, and his legacy is huge. I mean, my God, I don't have what he has to leave my kids. And his footprint is huge. So, you know, even though his two youngest really, I'm not even sure how much of their work he knows or what their views are even. But you know, he's left a footprint for them, you know, if nothing else. And, you know, he might not have materially, all his belongings right now are in a storage unit, and the majority is, leftover construction materials that he thought he might be able to use for the next job or the next job, you know, cause they are expensive materials, that he has, wouldn't be worth anything to anybody unless they were in construction and had a job that they used them on. But, you know, he doesn't have, you know, all his tools are older, you know, and, you know, of course he has a laptop, but his truck, you know, and that's it. A couple old dressers. He doesn't have materially, you know, he doesn't have a lot, you know, so he's worried that in probate they're going to take what he does have and his girls get nothing. I said, Dave, you know what? Get a bunch of credit cards. Get over there, max them out, especially get the credit card from the bank that took your house from you and refused to negotiate with you, you know, and sold it out from under you. Get a bank card from them for as much as you can. Max it out, you know. And he goes, well, then they'll go after, you know, what I have left, and my girls won't get it because the probate, the creditors will, you know, be first in line. I said, yeah, but Dave, you got a truck. It's 2 years old. Ask your daughters if they'd rather have a two-year-old truck or, you know, the best vacation they've ever had in memories for the rest of their lives. You know, let them make that choice.
Well, you know, I believe, you know, 20 years from now, you know, he'll be looked at like May Brussels, you know? And there could,
absolutely.
There
no,
could
be absolutely.
A Dave
McGowan
library. It's a shame
that, go ahead, I'm sorry.
There could even be a Dave McGowan library, you know?
I don't know if 5 books constitute a, you know, a library, but
put all his research on
I was hoping to finish the Lincoln series, and
he
certainly has, you know, lots of interviews that are out there that you know, that can be kept, you know, for posterity, and he does have his books, and you know, there's a lot of people that do know him. There's a lot of people that have never heard of his name whispered. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, with the mainstream media, he may never be known by the masses. He, you know, maybe 100 years from now, a obscure person is going to say, you know, this guy was something when. Yeah, who knows? We can only hope.
Well, you know, I was telling you yesterday, you know, I'll make my equipment available to him if he wants to, you know, dial in through a computer and just, you know, record his thoughts, you know, or whatever he, his research, whatever he wants to leave a record of.
Yeah, well, you know, I know there's one thing, and my older brother especially is, he's just, I call him one of the recently woken up. I say that for people that have just started to understand how things really are, how they really work, sure, and what's really going on. Well, he's one of those. And he is like some other people that when they first wake up, they just want to shout out to the world, you know, hey, wake up. Well, he's grabbed onto David's Boston, his midnight to his, what is it, the Caravan to Midnight episode on the, yeah, Boston bombing, and how he exposed, you know, how that was, you know, crisis actors, you know, it was a fraud. It was a fraud, another psychops perpetrated, you know, on the masses. And I know that he would be, I mean, eternally grateful if someone could take that and edit it with some high definition pictures and edit out the John D. Wells character guy that's in there that I, in my opinion, adds nothing other than to try to divert David into, you know, areas where he was refusing to talk about, like ISIS in Mexico, which was complete bullshit, but he tried to divert Dave, and Dave didn't take the bait, so it drew the whole thing out for 3 hours, and not too many people want to sit through a three-hour presentation just, you know, to get to the meat of it, and so it needs to be edited. I know he'd appreciate that. He doesn't have the ability to do it. Another gentleman offered to do it, and then he disappeared. I never heard from him again, so I'm not sure what happened with that, but neither here nor there.
Well, you know what? Get me the audio file. If the guys out there, Precog, if you're out there, I know you guys, and the guy who did Let's Talk About Sandy Hook, I know you guys are looking for some stuff, and I know they're big Dave McGowan fans. I know they are. Mm-hmm. And I know they listen to this show. They bug me every Monday morning after the show's over.
Right.
Give me a copy of that file, and they'll definitely do it. And they'll have it ready, I think, in time before he goes to Hawaii for him.
Well, that would be insane, because, yeah, he's – I know my older brother is – but he's knocking on the wrong doors. He's going to the mainstream media, and I keep telling him, Mike, you're going to the wrong people. The mainstream media, I mean, that's not going to happen. He hasn't got that through his head yet. So, he's barking up the wrong tree so far.
Okay, so good. Okay, maybe we can get that going and make a nice gift of that to him, and he can enjoy that while he's in Hawaii with the kids, you know, and he can show it to them.
That would be awesome. Yeah, yeah. I think he would. I think he would, you know, appreciate it. And because he doesn't have the ability to do that. He doesn't have... I don't really know anybody that has that equipment or that ability, you know, to take something and edit it and make it something that's shorter but still professional and show everything that he was talking about, you know, in less than three hours that you have to wade through, you know, to get it, to see what you need to see.
Okay, real
and
quick,
hear what you need to hear.
In the chat room, they're asking me, how do you feel that Dave was being diverted by John B. Wells in the conversation?
I think that David, I don't want to put words in his mouth.
Okay.
Let me put it this way. I believe that John B. Wells is co-opted. Okay. I believe. I just think because of some of his associations, I think because of the way he handled the interview. Other people do not feel that way. But then again, David, we both feel the same way about, brain fart now, I'm sorry, I'm trying to remember the guy's name.
And
I know he's actually well known, that David, you know, constantly has made, you know, public how he feels about this guy, but I can't even think of his name now.
Alex Jones?
That's him, yes. Okay. David, you know, and I believe also, yeah, he's co-op.
Well, I think everybody
absolutely
agrees about that, yeah. I don't think that's much. Did you see his divorce papers? You know?
But Alex Jones has his followers, and then they, you know, question Dave. Why do you think that? Well, David, you know, lays it out. You know, so that I'm not positive that he feels that way about, you know, John Wells. I do. I'm just, you know, I don't, like I said, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but just by the way he handled that interview, you know, he was doing things that, you know, there was, Dave would be talking and he'd be, you know, there should have been pictures up, you know, and Dave was explicitly talking about certain people in certain pictures. Well, the pictures weren't even up. And I'm thinking, and just they're talking about trying to get Dave to talk about other things that we both knew were complete, you know, crap, you know, red herring, you know, misdirection. So, you know, but Dave's smart. I mean, gotta give Dave. Dave is one bright kid. He just clams up, doesn't say anything, and ultimately the interviewer has to come back to him, and he's got dead air. So I give him that.
Yeah, I know he's upset that there was a fee for the show too. Yeah, it wasn't free, but I think ultimately
I've been able to watch it for free. I know that Dave, you know, was initially saying that, and other people were saying it couldn't be, it was a cost. But I've just pulled it up and watched it a few times actually, and I'll probably at some point in time in the future, it's really one of the few interviews Dave's ever done where he was actually on camera. And so, you know, I'm going to say that because, you know, other than hearing his voice, you can see him. So I'll keep that forever, regardless if it gets edited.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Shoot that over to me when you get a chance. Now, we're down to the last couple of seconds. What do you want to leave us with?
Well, I just, you know, I hope that David has left, you know, as big a footprint in all of, you know, your listeners' lives as he's made in mine. Obviously, I grew up with him. I've had him, you know, my whole life. I hope he just made a difference.
I believe he has, you know, and everyone in the chat room is agreeing, man, that there should be a Dave McGowan Library. All the work he's done on the Center for Informed America, and you said they can send him emails at davidmcgowan@roadrunner.com and send their love. And
yes, yeah, yeah, because the support really helps him. He's been living on that, just the outpouring of love and support. It's really helped him. I mean, more than anything else, that has been the most important to him and has meant, you know, been the most fulfilling to him.
Okay, real quick, we're about to get
kicked. You know, to know that he made a difference, yeah.
Again, the best way to donate right now is go to Center for an Informed America. Make sure it's the Dave McGowan.
I think that would be the best, even mailing it, yeah, because it would get right to him, you know, and otherwise it would have to be mailed to him, or my mom would have to deposit into account and transfer it to him, you know, he doesn't have to pay the taxes on it, and that was the big concern. Well, he's going to get 1099. Yes, he's going to get 1099, but he's not going to be here to have to pay that, you know, his taxes or his medical bills or anything else. So that's all a moot point now. Unfortunately, I mean, that's the truth of it, though.
Yeah. Well, just, you know, make sure, I hope he's listening, you know, and make sure, you know, we all love him.
When I talk to him again, he has a hard time talking, so usually I get like two or three sentences in a text. When he called me yesterday, I was shocked. I was like, he has not called. I haven't heard from him in 2 weeks, and from my understanding, he isn't even able to talk on the phone because he, you know, chokes up so much he can't talk. So I was surprised, but, you know, we talked about, like I said, TV shows and, you know, his favorite, you know, shows and things like that, and, you know, old times when we were kids and just memories, and didn't even touch the sickness because I knew that was really hard for him.
Well, Craig, man, listen, you know, I just hope everybody prays for you too, man, because, you know, and it brings you comfort and peace, you know, in this whole situation.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. I really, really appreciate it. I am a Christian. You know, David is atheist, I think most of him. He isn't ashamed to say it. Yeah. But I am Christian. I might be one of the only Christians left in the family, but I am. I always will be. And I'm praying for him too. I thank you. I appreciate that.
No, you know, that's the only thing that we all pray for him too. I'm a Christian myself, and that's the only thing me and Dave, I think, we disagree about. said he's an atheist, and I'm not.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's funny, though. I mean, I know this is a I'm not want to knock on anybody's intelligence, but I know a few people, and David is very, very, very bright. His IQ is, I don't know, 180, 190 something. It's just insane. You know, he passed the Mensa test the first time with ease. But a lot of people that are intelligent like that, they look at things differently, and that's, he looks at Christianity that way. You know, he considers it an absurd, you know, thing. So I respect his views on the one hand. On the other hand, you know, he doesn't knock mine down. So he lets me believe what I want to believe, and that's just perfect.
Yeah, you know, do you know what? There is one other thing we disagreed about, and that's Paul is dead, and because he gets so upset about that one too. I believe that there's a Paul McCartney swap out conspiracy. And he gets so upset about that one that I would bring it up to him.
Oh, Dave. Yeah, I don't know why that upsets him, because I'm on the fence, and I don't even know what difference it makes to tell you the truth. If it's Paul or Saul or Fall or whatever they call him, I don't even know what difference that even makes really in the big scheme of things, whether it's a fake Paul or the real Paul. I don't know what effect that has really on anybody's life. So yeah, but Dave seems to think that's just the most ridiculous thing in the world. And he's not afraid, to tell you that.
I know. So, he would actually come to my YouTube comments when I would do a show about it. He would come to my YouTube comments and start trolling the kids. Telling how stupid they are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, David's never been afraid to really push his point of view on any issue if he thinks the other person's, you know, he's had huge arguments with the people that believe the moon landings happened and you know, proponents of the moon landings. And, I mean, he had a huge argument with Michael Aquino. I was like, my God, how big are your balls, dude? I mean, seriously. You know, so he doesn't back down.
Wait a
second. He does not back down. And, you know, that's probably why he's where he's at right now.
He got into a fight with Michael Aquino?
He refused to back down. Oh, huge, huge fight. In fact, Michael Aquino threatened his life.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, David had posted the pedophocracy files. But I don't even know, think that was a word then. Dave coined that word, that term, and wrote the pedophocracy and, you know, talked about Michael Aquino, talked about other important names that I won't mention now, but in Washington and in places of power. And he had no fear at all of calling these people out. And he does. For the biggest balls award, I'm going to give it to my brother every time, because he did not back down. And even in the face of threats, you know, of death threats, he refused. Even when he did the Boston bombings, he was, you know, he received death threats and promises. In fact, John B. Wells made a comment that, you know, he was going to end up with the cancer that he actually has.
Oh, really?
Because of the Boston bombing, because he wouldn't back down. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that's fate. I don't know if that was, you know, a prelude to what actually was already known. I don't know. But there it is.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, another thing people can do, I guess, you know, yeah, it would. They could buy the books, too. Center for an Informed, the books are Weird Scenes Behind Inside the Canyon, The Program to Kill, Understanding the F Word, and all those books too. That could help support the situation too as well.
I think even though the first book is supposedly not in print anymore, it actually is in like its second or third printing, and he hasn't. Of course, I don't think any of his publishers have been fair to him. But on the first book, I think he told me he made a total of $200, and it's in its third or fourth printing, even though they claim that, you know, it's not in printing anymore and they didn't make any money on it. But it is out there. It's harder to find. The other books, other than, in fact, until he wrote the Weird Scenes book and then hit a higher audience, I guess, because of the rock and roll, he, you know, I think that's really when more people found out about him. I don't know if he got just as many fans as detractors when that happened, because people were upset about reading of their, you know, the 60s heroes and the 70s heroes from, you know, the rock and roll era. But he did have bring more awareness to himself. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
He still didn't make a heck of a lot off that book. And I think total, of course, you know, the sales is usually in the first year. I think total he made about $7,500 off that book. But, you know, he was only making 85 cents a copy, too, which means they must have sold quite a few for him to get $7,500 at 85 cents a copy. You know, so.
And another thing, too, is so many people have copied his work. You know, and just outright plagiarized.
Yeah, oh yeah, and he has no problem with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's the ultimate. You know, I mean, that's praising him. You know, I don't think he has a real problem with people copying his work. I don't know if he even cares if he gets credit. As long as they don't twist his work, you know, as long as they don't twist it and turn it into something that he didn't say, you know, that bothers him. That kind of bothers him, but, yeah.
Well, one more time.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. It probably took your show longer than you wanted to take it.
No, this is important stuff, you know?
Well, it is to me. I mean, it is to me. I you know, but... other people have other lives. This just happens to be mine.
Yeah, but you know, trust me, he has a huge following, you know, and it is.
Well, I would hope. I would hope so. And you know, I don't think David even realized how far, you know, across the globe, you know, his message has gone. I think that even when he wrote the book and he was getting orders in from South America and Australia and New Zealand. All parts of Asia and, you know, Europe, he was shocked. Like, how do these people even, you know, maybe they just think it's a rock and roll book, you know, and that's why they're buying it. You know, he was shocked that, you know, that he was getting orders from so many corners of the world. But I think that really people actually know who he is, or they're learning who he is from around the world. And I think that's huge. I mean, I'm very proud of him. And I, you know, it's under different circumstances, I would, you know, probably be the happiest, you know, person, you know, on the planet for him.
Yeah. I know. Definitely, people listen to the show all over the South Africa and stuff like that. So, and I know that he was one of the most popular guests we ever had. He's one of the most popular guests we ever had, by far.
Yeah.
I'm getting a message from Amanda from Pacific West Bamboo, and she's going to be doing this event up there in San Francisco in October. I think it's like October 17th. So if he has any books lying around, if you can get them over to her, she's willing to sell the books for you. And as a fundraiser.
Well, he'll be back. I think he's coming home on the 3rd. I'm not sure what his plans are. I don't know if he has, you know, if he has backlog of books from, I don't even know what his book situation is. It's because I know he purchases them from his publisher in blocks, so he doesn't have to purchase one at a time, you know, and then sell it. So he purchases them, in, you know, 20 at a time or whatever, and then he sells them when they're gone. He orders another bunch, but I do not know where he's at. I don't know how many orders have actually been coming in, and that really determines on if he orders more. I'd have to ask him. And see where he's at. That isn't something we've talked about.
Okay. It's the National Bioneers Conference, and it's October 16th to the 18th. And who's that Densmore guy? Johnny Densmore from The Doors? He's going to be there. Maybe we can get him to sign the books.
there you go.
Or get a picture.
Yeah, dual signatures.
Yeah. You know? So,
might be worth something someday, huh?
Yeah.
Somebody.
And anything we can do to help here, you know, if you want to come back on.
I appreciate it, Ed. No, I appreciate it.
Yeah, we love you, man.
No, I appreciate it. Well, you know, I talked to Maria, and you know, when the time comes, and we have a service, I probably will put out a post to anybody that lives close enough that wants to attend. Now, I know that David would be appalled if we held it in a church. And so I'm trying to figure out where we can hold the service that would not, you know, offend him, even though he's not here. But that Maria thought that maybe we could have like a video video. What do they call that? Where you people can see it video live.
Yeah, live stream. Yeah.
Yeah, live stream. That we could do something like that for the people around the world that would like to, you know, to that would, you know, like to attend, but they can't, or for whatever reason, you know, want to be there in spirit. That they can follow along. It's still in the early stages, obviously, but, you know, Maria Heller had that idea, and I thought it was, you know, a very good one. So we'll go with it when we get to that.
Yeah, because I know so many people love him, and they just want to do whatever they can, but not everybody has money, you know? It's a weird thing.
And that's the thing. David's fans, ultimately, if he has any fans in the 1% club, I would just fall over right now. His fans are like us, you know, the struggling, you know, the middle class or lower middle class. I like to call myself lower middle class because I do own a home, but I'm far from having any kind of type of money in the account ever or anything like that. But I'm sure that's what most people are in, same condition, living from paycheck to paycheck, and there isn't any extra money, you know, to send out. And David understands that. I mean, you know, he lives that. People think David's well off. Like, no, he's never been well off, and he's actually lived, his whole life has been tragic, but we won't go into that now. That's time for another story.
But I'll tell you this, you know, because especially when I first started doing this show 2 years ago, I think his name came up on this show with almost for a period of time there. Almost every guest I had, Mark Rudd from the Weather Underground, he had read the book.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Hank Harrison, Courtney Love's father. He had read the book. Steve Hodell.
Are you talking Weird Scenes, or are we talking Weird Scenes?
Weird Scenes,
the newest,
yeah.
The most recent?
Yeah.
Okay.
They had all, and I would bring it up, and I'd say, oh, yeah, I'm familiar. I read the book. These are iconic figures, you know? And they all...
You know, I'd hate for that to be his crowning achievement, because the reality is his prior books really should be. You know, they should be. But, you know, that one just brings in rock and roll and the military establishment, you know, Laurel Canyon and the people and really the evil and the dirt behind it all. But, you know, that exists in his other books as well. So, you know, I don't know that I would say that, you know, I don't want him to be solely remembered by just Weird Scenes, because that wouldn't be fair to his legacy. You know, his other books are just equally, even his first book that was mostly quotes, but it was important quotes, you know, and that he culled those. So I mean, every single book he has is as important. I wouldn't say that any one book is more important than the other.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, and just imagine, you know, if early on he could have got a grant, you know, like a grant to fund his work and his writing instead of having to work construction and stuff, you know. How much would a difference?
Well, yeah, but then again, he would have to get the grant, he would have had to approach people that really wouldn't be supportive of his work.
Yeah.
You know, the people he's trying, you can't go up to someone you're trying to take down and, you know, and or expose and beg money from them to do it. You know, so it doesn't work that way. So, and unfortunately, you know, he's had to toil in relative, you know, obscurity for most of his investigative life. You know, and I just think that if, you know, the people send in the you know, the emails and the, you know, the love and let him know that he did matter, you know, that he made a difference, that he matters. I mean, I don't think you could do anything more. I think that'd be the ultimate, you know, the ultimate send off to him.
Yeah, I
just think
you
made
you.
A difference.
And someone's asking too if you're going to secure his notes and stuff like that and his research.
Well, I would have liked to, but it sounds like, and I haven't spoke with him about it, because I would have loved to carry on, you know, his work and to take it and move with it forward. And like I said before, I think I made a post at one time, if David falls, and this is before I knew he was sick, I said, if they take David down, if he falls, I'll stand up next. And then I said, if I fall, I hope someone else you know, takes my torch and continues, because somebody needs to. But I at this point, I think everything as far as the control of that's going to his eldest daughter. Now, she does editing, but I don't know what her personal feelings are. I've never sat down and had a conversation. That's a conversation we're going to need to have, but not right now. You know, that'll be coming later. I'll sit down and talk with her about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, see where she's going to take it and what she's going to do with it. But as far as I know, she gets the rights to everything and the control, you know, of everything.
Well, he must trust her if he gave it to her, you know?
Well, he does. I mean, yeah, absolutely. It's not his baby girl anymore, but it's his firstborn. And, I mean, she was, I mean, it's another story, obviously, but she was taken from him when she was just a baby, you know, and he didn't see much of her until she turned 18. But it, like I said, that's another story, but, he does, he loves her. He loves her to death. You know, I wouldn't say she's his favorite because he loves all his girls. I mean, they're his life. They're other than his dog's his fourth daughter. You know, his dog is every much a daughter to him too. Yeah, he can't take her to Hawaii, unfortunately. I think he would if he could.
Oh, yeah, that's a shame, yeah, that he can't take the dog. Because, yeah, that's another thing, too. Always, oh, I got to walk the dog. I'll be right back.
Well, you can, because I moved a pet from Hawaii, but you have to put him in quarantine for 30, 60 days. And what good is that? That doesn't do anybody any good because you're already home and they're still in quarantine on the other island, you know, they're across the ocean. So, yeah, you can't take the dogs. It doesn't work that way. Or he would. I'm sure if he had a way to do it, he'd do it. But it's kind of hard to hold. You know, if it was a small dog you put in a carry-on or a crate you could take on board, maybe he would. But Chloe's big. It's a big Doberman. Can't hide that one. She's huge. Sweetheart, but she's huge. Yeah.
Well, Craig, thank you for coming on, you know.
I appreciate your time. Let me talk. Let me get a few things off my chest. And,
yeah. You know. I can imagine, yeah. Oh, boy. Well, I'll keep mentioning this over the weekend. I'm going to be doing a bunch of shows, and as much as I can, whatever we can do for you here, man. Tell Dave we love him.
I will. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And you know, I know Dave does. And I'm not looking forward to any of this. I'm in denial, too. But it's what's keeping me going.
Okay, brother. Anything we can do for you, let us know, right?
All right, thanks, Ed. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right, okay. Bye-bye.
Oh, boy. Well, I tell you, you know, hey, there's really nothing left to say. You know, I think in the future some more things are going to come out, and you'll get a better idea of what the hell's been going on here. But good old Dave, you know, was definitely I wish I had him on more times, you know, but I always kind of said, you know, I'll save him for the future. I'll save him for something. I never heard the story about him fighting with Aquino. I would have loved to interview him about that. You know. All we can do is, you know, like I said, send those emails to him. And if you can come up with $5, $10, $15, I know a lot of people have been supporting me and helping me out. So, you know, just put me aside for a couple of months and help out Dave, be with his daughters, you know. You guys know I had the similar situation of losing my daughter for a little while, cussy stuff. And, you know, this is the struggle of life. So I want to thank everybody for listening tonight to the show. And, you know, I tell you something, just when I first saw the message on Facebook that he was sick, I don't take this stuff well, you know, and it's just so draining, you know, and discouraging to see someone you respect out there and having this kind of situation, this kind of battle in their life, and not to hear that, you know, things aren't going the way we would have hoped. So, what do? You know, life, that's life, you know, the good and the bad. And I have to believe that, you know, my faith has just gotten me through so much. And I would just pray that Dave would receive the gift of faith, you know, and that we can all pray for him, that his heart would be opened up and receive that wonderful gift of faith. Because in the Bible, it describes faith as a gift. You know, it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I guess not everybody gets it, you know. So we would just pray that Dave would receive that. And right now we'll pray for him and also pray for his healing. In the name of Jesus, complete healing throughout his body and comfort and peace for the family and new blessings on them and everything they do. Guys, I love you all, okay? And got a lot of big things coming up on the show. Next week we have that guy about the how the FBI sets up the terror suspects and busts them. I got St. John Hunt. Got Chris Milligan coming on. Got all these great opportunities. Keep us in your prayers too, okay? Because I know that this, I really got to thank God, because this whole situation with being able to get this car was something that we really got together and said, hey, let's pray about this. And let's pray that God blesses us with a car. And within a week, we got, you know, we're set for the car. So guys, I love you all. And, you know, I know you all love Dave. Send him a couple bucks if you can. Keep him in your prayers. Send him those cards and messages to David McGowan at roadrunner.com. Or you could just message him through Center for an Informed America. And we'll talk to you. I'll talk to you over the weekend. I'm doing some shows over the weekend, okay? So you can catch that. There'll be in the member section some stuff, too, that we'll be doing, you know, free stuff Saturday night, Sunday night. Probably Chris Milligan. Yeah, Chris Milligan, because he has a big event coming up. One of those JFK conventions, and we want to get that out there to you. So, guys, I'll talk to you soon. Bye.